I'm with Beth McMillan from Burrawong Gyarn Poultry. And Beth, not only most preeminent poultry producer in Australia, in my opinion, but also I consider you a great friend, and it's great, my pleasure to sit down and have a chat with you. Can you tell us a story, Beth, of how it all began?
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, Dane. I think the poultry journey actually began quite a long time ago, like about 20 years ago, because Hayden, who's my wonderful husband, favourite dish is duck. Done anyway, he doesn't care. And he actually made me learn how to cook in the beginning using duck. We are both school teachers by profession, and that was how we met down in the Riverina. And it wasn't until we made our tree change from the South Coast to the Mid-North Coast that we were looking around for another business idea to do so Hayden could get out of teaching. And we came upon the idea of growing pasture-raised poultry. And after reading Joel Salatin's book, took some of those ideas on, but not totally how he did it either, but could see the benefits of growing poultry in a fresh, clean environment.
In January, you're kind enough to invite me down to the farm, and you didn't. There were no holes barred. I had full access to everything. And what struck me first was the amazing surroundings for the poultry. I mean, we had ducks in open fields, and we went down to the lower fields, and the chickens were grazing under trees, and it was quite idyllic. And that point of difference, that duty of care that you give to your poultry, translates to a point of difference on the plate. You must be very proud of that.
Yes, we are, of course, very proud of it. But living on the Mid-North Coast is a real blessing in that regard, because the Mid-North Coast is actually the most temperate area in the whole of the eastern seaboard. So we have the least temperature changes, so it's a much more ideal place to grow your poultry, because they're not exposed to as many extremes as they could be in other parts of Australia.
Can you tell us the history of the going right back? Because I know we were talking earlier, you're coming up now for your fourth Delicious Award consecutive years, which is an incredible achievement given the panel involved in that. I mean, they're some of our best judges in Australia. They've clearly identified your produce early, as did restaurants such as Rockpool, Foodamond, Sixpenny, Billy Kwong, Pope Jones. So people have identified this amazing produce. So you can tell us, just go right back to 2011-12 when it began.
Yes, well, we started, our first commercial process was in 2009, but it was after a lot of help from Colin Holt and Jeff Winfield at Hudson Meats. They have now 5 stores in Sydney and one also in Melbourne. They really helped us, because Colin was a two-hat chef and ran Damien Pignolet's restaurant prior to going out on his own at Parve. And he was really instrumental in giving us the faith, putting our product in his shop in all his shops, really, and also giving us the opportunity to put our product in front of top chefs like Neil Perry, who prior to our Muscovy ducks going in hadn't used anybody that was really pasture-raised for the Muscovy duck. Like, that was a really great accolade for us to go to Rockpool and see Gyan Poultry, which we were at that stage, on the menu. In 2012, we took over Burrawong and amalgamated the two businesses, basically, but moved all our poultry from our property in Kundabung up to Barragan Yatti and called the business Burrawong Gyan, and it went from there.
Can we talk about we were talking the other night on the phone, and what does Gyan mean? Because this is quite interesting.
Well, the word Gaia, she was the goddess of renewal, a Roman goddess and also a Greek goddess. And James Lovelock wrote a scientific paper back in the 70s about the earth renewing itself, and the fact that no matter really what humans do to it, it's in a constant state of renewal. However, that does not mean that we might still be here as it's renewing itself. And we read the book. I have to admit, I didn't understand all the tables, but I understood the sentiment. He was largely discredited, sadly, until the 1990s, when, just before his death, people did actually acknowledge that climate change was happening. And the whole idea of Gaia and renewability and sustainability has always been dear to our hearts. Our property at Kundabung was a standalone solar property. We had no mains power whatsoever, so we ran not only our household but the whole farming facility just on either battery power, solar power.
Can you tell us a little bit about the challenges for a small producer? Because a lot of we just see the end product of it, of course, but you have daily challenges that you face. And just some of the things as far as wild animals and things that would affect your normal running of the business that people in the city don't understand.
Yes, there are a range of predators. We have four-footed friends like foxes and wild dogs that have done quite a substantial amount of predation on the property from time to time, and we're now working very closely with the LPHA and also with the National Parks to try to keep that under control. We have feathered friends as well that fly around, as in a range of eagles and other falcons and things like that, that also do take small numbers of birds. From time to time, they seem to be not there all the time. So it might be they just nest, you know, when they're nesting, they're feeding their babies and, yeah. Probably the other main issue is making sure that you get the right feed regime happening with the birds, because even the chickens, they might not look like much, but my best way of describing it is they're like Formula 100 cars. They need that special octane mix or they just don't grow well.
It's interesting, tonight we're after the interview we're doing a pop-up, which is basically going to feature your produce. We're doing a duck press dish with your fantastic duck. I don't think this dish has been done in Australia with this quality of duck before. Are you excited about that?
Oh, I sure am. And the only person that's really not excited is Hayden, because he can't be there and he's like, well, it's me that really likes the duck. But anyway, there might be a leftover that I can pop in my bag to take.
I'm speaking to Chef Darren Templeman, who's cooking the duck tonight, and he was doing a test run of it last night. And he said when he tasted the sauce and he quickly made it up after it came out of the press, he said it took him back to the last time he made that dish. Darren worked in London and they did the duck press dish over there, and he said it was like sense memory straight away back. And it's a tribute to your produce that that Darren's just instantly went back to that time in London. And this dish is time-honoured. It's probably one of the great dishes of all time.
Yes, I'm so proud that he even said that, because I have done a little bit of research myself on the origins of the dish and cooking it, and probably in London Darren wouldn't have even used the same breed of duck, I suspect, that he's used, because it's the Peking duck that he's used for his dish that we're going to have tonight. So I think that is fantastic, to get that feedback from such an accredited chef that has worked like at the top of his field in Europe.
It's amazing. I was looking there at prep today, and I mean, we're going to have some lovely duck tongues and have some other bits of offal tonight, so it's going to be a real celebration of your produce tonight, which we're looking forward to. Whilst we're speaking of chefs, you have a very strong collaboration with Clayton Donovan on the mid-north coast. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, Clayton has been one of our first chefs that took our product on board when we first started in 2009, because he's also a local from Nambucca and has been a very keen local forager of plant material and also different types of proteins. We just have a natural connection. I think some people you're always more friendly with than others, and I think with Clayton and Jane we've just formed that bond of now friends. It's not just a business connection, and we're in the process of forming a partnership to go into some value-added product in a fairly major way, I think, in the time going forward, utilising our product and also the indigenous bush foods that Clayton can forage and utilise in those value-added dishes.
That's the aspect that Clayton brings to it too, because earlier today we were talking about Clayton just during prep, and one of the things I found about Clayton was that he has that classical training that brings the native ingredients in so cohesively, where some other chefs are perhaps it's a little more obvious, but Clayton's is so harmonious when he brings those native ingredients in. So we'll be doing a pop-up with Clayton later on in Wingham and then to Coffs, and Darren's looking forward to working with Clayton up there.
I think he will really enjoy working with Clayton. As he even said, going forward to Noosa, he and Jane came to Noosa. The four of us were almost joined at the hip because we had a lot of prep and cooking and labelling and everything to do. And he is just so easy to get on with. It's just incredible. And the four of us, yeah, it's not often I think that you could get such a harmonious group of people, that because obviously we're all very different and our skills are different.
Just speaking, you touched on Noosa Food and Wine. Can you tell us what that experience has been like?
Oh, the Noosa Food and Wine, I think, as a producer, is one of the highlights of the year because it's the biggest food and wine festival in Australia. And Delicious Produce Awards are actually a sponsor of that. And as a finalist or winner, some lucky people are offered the chance to go. You have a stall, they look after you, it's walk in, walk out. We took the product this year that was made with the Jarning Tree label as well as our product. And as well as that, we were really honoured this year because Tim Montgomery, who is the executive chef of Burrardo's, who run the Noosa Food and Wine Festival, asked if we would put our chicken up, and it was actually at the two big degustations on the Friday night and the Saturday night. On the Friday night, it was great because Jacques Ramon cooked the chicken, and it got very good reviews from different chefs that were there. And then on the Saturday night, David Thompson from NAM, who had recently been named number 13 in the hottest 100 in the world, cooked it, and again with great accolades. And probably the nicest thing that happened was on the Sunday, Alvin Leong from Hong Kong, who's a Michelin starred chef, personally came, sought us out, and said that he'd thought the product was absolutely amazing. He'd watched it both nights at both degustation and just said, amazing product, and asked if next year, if he comes, could we ask if he could cook the duck.
That's great, great honour. Can you tell us a little about on the farm? You've got an accreditation because you're fully pasteurised, but it's a humane choice accreditation, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. We're the only meat poultry business in Australia to have that accreditation thus far, and it is a very good thing, particularly for consumers, because anybody that is into food would realise that labelling and food production is a very grey area in Australia. And I think Humane Choice is the one accreditation body in Australia that really does embody and champion the humane and very good husbandry aspects of how you should grow eggs, meat, to a standard where the animals in particular have a very nice life while they are here.
And that ultimately shows in the plate, doesn't it? I mean, that's the point of difference. When I first tasted your produce, the point of difference was stunning, and I was quite blown away when I first tried it, and I think it does flow back.
I think definitely. I think being outside the sun is a critical factor in anybody's growth because it helps with bone density. It helps also with the transformation of chlorophyll into keratin that happens, you know, in as that chemical process. And the whole bird being able to run around, scratch in the earth, have a dust bath.
Yeah, I mean, chickens they're naturally foraging animals, aren't they?
Yes, and so are ducks too. You know, if they see a bug, watch them run. They're doing the stall gift.
It's the property is. When I first went out there and had a look at it, I mean, as you said, it's quite idyllic. What the process involved with the Humane Choice accreditation? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Did they do a visit there themselves and come out and?
Yes, yeah. The first year to get accredited, they actually have someone who's totally independent do the whole accreditation process, so that it is all above board. It's a level playing field where they just come and look at every aspect. Not just the husbandry, but also the bookwork to make sure you're taking note of the good things that happen on the farm as well as the bad, like predatory losses, etc. And then they do come and look every year, and then every third year they bring in an independent body again.
Well, certainly, second what we saw when we came up to your farm, and as I said, you gave us full access, and it was that really should be the template for how all poultry is raised, really, in my opinion.
I think so, and I think probably the one other difference that is just, I think, is the other critical factor in what comes onto the plate once the chefs have used it, is the fact that the birds don't move very far from where they've been grown for the 8 weeks that they're, 8 to 9 weeks they're on the ground, depending whether they're chickens or ducks, to where they have their process. It's not a big long journey on a semi-trailer, which is what some poor chickens have to experience. It's only a couple of hundred metres from where they've had the time in the paddock to where they do have to get processed.
One of the great memories of that trip I had was a dish you cooked for us that night, and we were saying at the table that basically we had zero food miles, and we were probably more dealing in yards, and it was absolutely spectacular. And the point's very valid that, I mean, you can have these animals pasture-raised, but, I mean, where they're getting culled and whatever, if there's a trip that's going to adversely affect it, this affects the outcome too, because if the animal is stressed, it will come through in the product.
Oh, most definitely, and I think you'd find that with any beast or bird, that it can have a really detrimental effect to the texture and also to the flavour of the protein.
When we came up to the Mid-North Coast, you took us around and gave us a produce tour, and we were quite stunned by the quality of produce on the Mid-North Coast. And in Sydney, we, for some reason, it's not championed as much as areas like Orange and other areas, you know, that really get behind it. So can you tell us a bit about what the Mid-North Coast can offer as far as produce for the Sydney market and even for your local market?
Oh, look, we have been totally amazed, particularly since going up to Barraganyaddy, where the Burrawong property is. It's a real food bowl. There are macadamias grown there. There's a huge number of avocados grown there. It's about the most southern point of banana growing in Australia. It's just incredible, and we've been really impressed. And further north, you know, we've got a lot of indigenous farms where they're growing the finger limes and Davidson plums and things like that. And it, for some reason, it isn't very well known, but Hayden and I have set up a little side business called Yarra Happiny Produce, where we're sourcing things like potatoes, which are also grown at Bellambapini, which is right near Kempsey, and I can just pick those potatoes up straight from the farmer. I chat to him every week and send them down here to Sydney.
So if a chef was ordering your produce, your poultry, via arrangement, he could also order some of this produce?
Oh, most definitely, because we do duck eggs as well. And like, for example, Tama at Berta Restaurant, I can say to her, oh, well, I've got potatoes this week. And she said, oh, yes, well, I'll have potatoes as well as my normal poultry order. And it's great. I think that's fantastic service for them, and they also know where the product's coming from, and know that even if we haven't grown it ourselves, we know the people that have grown it, and they're just small producers like us.
When we were up there, I went to Fig Restaurant. I think Fig is under the radar in my opinion as a restaurant. I was very impressed by that, and now there's a chef from Number 2 Oak Street moved to Bonneville Golf Club. And can you tell us a bit about the restaurant scene in your area?
Well, it was a little bit sad that the Jining Tree closed in February.
That was tragic,
wasn't it? A bit of a blow, but Clayton has come to the party by doing pop-ups in the area, which is fantastic. I think that we do have a number of really good restaurants in that northern area. There's Fiasco Restaurant, which is an Italian restaurant, and we had a pop-up there in January, which was very successful. And again, Stefano Mazzina is a strong advocate of fine local produce. Sadly, Number 2 Oak Street closed, and Michael then went to the Bonneville Golf Club. He's gradually building that up, and we're hoping to have a pop-up there later in the year. As you say, Fig, I think that Philip Fig is largely underrated, and I think a pop-up is definitely on the cards there, because he also is, like Michael, is a champion of the local food producer.
I was speaking to both Darren and Liam Crawley this morning. They're incredibly excited about coming up and working with Clayton and any other chefs you've got up there. And for them, it's an opportunity to bring their skill set up there and to use your local produce and champion that, and in a way on the plate that celebrates that. And would you think that looking forward that the pop-ups could be quite popular up there?
I definitely think so, and I think particularly for chefs moving around so that the diners get an experience of a different chef and their techniques and their expertise, because every chef has their own little forte, which is great, and their own forte in cooking the produce that's available. And I just think that the more we can promote the Mid-North Coast, the better it is going to be, because, as you say, there are other regions that are really well represented in the media, in all aspects of the media. And I think that it's time for the Mid-North Coast to be recognised as a pristine environment for people to holiday in, go for a weekend, and that there is a lot to do, a lot to see, and a lot to eat.
Donna at Bent on Food was saying that from the pop-up, it also gives her chef a chance to learn and to also work with other people, look at different opinions and different approaches to food. So it's a benefit for everyone, really.
Oh, I think so. And it may even just get more metropolitan diners out into the countryside and having a look around. And part of what I envisage as this goes forward is that it's not just about dining. It's about the whole foraging and getting out there, having a picnic. And
that's quite exciting, because when we came down, you created a very holistic experience, not just of food, but of foraging, and we did quite a few things, and I could see that actually being quite popular from a Sydney perspective, of people coming up and being provided that experience, because it was quite amazing.
Yes, I think that if you know where to go, that's half the thing, and if you are a visitor to an area, you may not know where to go, and if you're there with a local, it does make the experience just that much more enjoyable.
We were, apart from ducks, obviously you have, I'd just like to mention too that it's the first year that your chicken has been recognised by the Delicious Awards. That must be exciting.
Oh yes, that was very good. I was pretty surprised because the duck has been the finalist 3 years, but I think it shows that the quality of the poultry is high.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of the chefs, particularly when they get it, they're quite stunned, because they don't have to do much with it. And that's with all your produce. And I know a lot of chefs, for them, less is more. They don't want to stand in the way of it. They just want the flavour to translate out onto the plate. You talked a little bit earlier about the possibility of a joint Fincher beef coming out of...
Yes, we're currently adjusting full-blood Angus cattle on the property with one of my school colleagues who's also an ag teacher, and we're looking in the next 18 months to start that as a more commercial venture, because he has been buying his product and breeding now that they're chemical free, so they have no drench at all and they're fully pasture raised, which is becoming a very big issue, I think, in the beef market, that the beasts are grass fed rather than grain fed.
So mentioning about children, well, farmers basically now, the generations, it's not being passed on like it used to, and it's exciting that I noticed that you mentioned when we were up there that you have you allow schools to come onto the farm to actually show the children coming up about the process. Can you talk a bit about that? Because that's a very positive thing.
Yes, that was a very successful couple of days that I've had with hospitality students and also with agricultural students, where they get a full tour of the farm. The students are allowed to go in and have a go at eviscerating a chicken because they went there specifically on a processing day. I did the whole tour of them from the birds as day olds to when they are processed. Could show them, I have a small duck egg business that's also free range, and also I'm developing a flock of geese and guinea fowl as well as an add-on. And we, of course, have all our foraging muscovies all over the property. And the kids, I think we're a bit amazed that so much diversity could happen and so much could go on with just really a very small husband and wife team with our little team of workers. And it was a very, very positive experience for them. And we finished off the day with me cooking them lunch. And they thought that was great that they could actually have the paddock to play experience. And I think for kids that that's really, really important. And as an add-on to that, next week we're actually having a stress-free beef demonstration. It's not at our property, but it's through our school and Kim Honan, who's the local ABC reporter who's passionate about rural affairs, is going to report on it, where students are learning to have stress-free techniques to deal with their cattle. And I think the more that kids can learn about these different things that happen, the more we're going to keep the kids on the farms. And that's what has to happen in Australia if our ag sector is going to go ahead.
It's very much that educational aspect there, which is fantastic for you, isn't it?
Oh, so, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit, quantify the scale of your operation out there? I mean, how many ducks, chooks at any given time, and just take us through the process?
On a really good week, we would do close to 600 chickens and we would do about 300 ducks. We do a small number of Muscovy ducks and geese from time to time. That doesn't happen every week. And we do also provide a home kill service for locals who also like to grow their own poultry, and they can access that as well. And we do a small number of rabbits as well. We've got three growers that grow the rabbits and then we sell them under our brand.
I noticed that, if some chefs aren't using your product and if they're serious about quality poultry, they should be, how would they go about accessing your product?
Well, we have a website now and they can, of course, access that on the internet. I've been fairly active in social media, and again, I've got Colin Holt and Jeff Winfield to thank for that. Started on Twitter, moved on to Facebook, and have fairly recently gone onto Instagram, and have found those outlets to be a fantastic way to get photographs and pieces of information about your product and actually where it's grown, so people have a photographic idea that it's transparent. And a lot of chefs have contacted me that way, actually, and then we point them in the right direction of where they can source the food. Same with consumers. Just this week, had some people from Coffs Harbour, Bellingen area, where can we buy the product? And it's quite an easy way to get it out there, and they were going straight to the Coffs Central butcher shop to get the chickens.
For the consumers, where can we access your product through in Sydney and Melbourne?
In Sydney, there's four Hudson Meat stores. There's also Victor Churchill in Wallara, Kingsley Meats in Rose Bay, Grub in Vaucluse, Feather and Bone at Marrickville, Dulwich Hill Gourmet Meats at Marrickville. Or Dulwich Hill, I suppose, it's not at Marrickville. Sorry. They would be the main outlets. And in Melbourne, Hudson Meats have our chickens and ducks exclusively in their two-rack store.
I know Melbourne, where they're excited about getting your product down, because with your social media profile, you got a lot of inquiries, I saw, from people from Melbourne saying, when are we going to get it? And particularly with Food & Modern featuring it, and now Pope Joan, I believe, is also using your project.
Yes, that's a different arm to Hudson's. And Flinders Islands Meats, which is run by James Madden, I met him last year in the Delicious Produce Awards final meeting. And we've since developed a wholesale arrangement with him, and he's doing the ducks to places like Vue du Monde and Pope Joan, and there's a couple of others, I think, that are using them down there too.
Well, Beth, I'd like to thank you for sitting down. I mean, firstly, I want to thank you for your produce, because it's been a revelation to taste poultry, as it should be, where we have the flavours in years past that we were used to, and you've revived that and brought that back for us, not only in restaurants, but at the home level. And tonight's exciting because we get to do a classic dish that dates back to 1890. It's a time-honoured dish, and I'm so excited using your product, because I'm sure it has not been done with this standard of produce, and I hope we can do it justice tonight for you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for inviting me to come and be able to be a part of such a wonderful and a one-off evening, and I hope that you have more of these evenings in the future.
Thank you, Beth, and look forward to having a chat again in the future.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.